I'm going to share with you briefly before we conclude tonight from John's Gospel. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. John chapter 16 as well as John chapter 3. John chapter 16 as well as John chapter 3. In both of those passages, he speaks of birth. In John chapter 3, he refers to a new birth or being born again. In John chapter 16, he uses childbirth as an analogy. And he says in John 16, verse 24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Have you ever seen someone and they radiated joy and they didn't have really a reason to have joy? Or they had this peace about them or this confidence or this assurance or this faith within them. Though their circumstances were bleak or bad or difficult, they just seemed to always have joy and assurance and faith and confidence within something. And though at times you might see them struggle with things in life, that joy and that peace just continues to resurface. And you see that in them, and you want to have that. Perhaps you're not a follower of Jesus, and that person is, and you see that in them, and you want to have that. Or maybe you do follow Jesus, but you don't have what that person seems to have. And have you ever seen someone who had that, and it just drove you crazy? You know, I don't understand why they have that. I want that, and I don't understand why they have that. And sometimes it's because you can't figure out where it's coming from. Why do they have that? Other times it's because you see the way they have it, you see the route they took, the things that they're doing that is resulting in them having that joy, but you don't really want to take that route. You don't really want to do the things that they're doing, but you still want the results of the things that they are doing. Well, that joy and that peace and that comfort and that assurance and that confidence and that faith can be found in an experience that Jesus describes in John chapter 3. He has a conversation with Nicodemus, and in John 3, verse 3, he says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Not only can he not enter it, he can't even see it. He doesn't even know it exists. It's right there before him, but he doesn't even know that it's there unless he is born of God. Unless he has some experience that Jesus is describing, then he will be able to see the source of this love, this life, this joy. Then he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And he gives further description to this experience that he calls born again, is this experience with the Holy Spirit. That when I have this unique encounter with the Holy Spirit, something changes within me. And changes as such in verse 6, where he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit." That I would be able to see the things that are fleshly, the things that are destructive, the things that begin to rob me of my joy and my faith and my confidence and my sense of peace. And I could begin to remove those from my life. And I can see the things that are of the Spirit, and I can begin to embrace them and walk in them and have that joy. I can't do that unless I have this being born of the Spirit or being born again. Verse 8, he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And when I was reflecting on this verse earlier, I was thinking, is it the person who's born of the Spirit that doesn't know where they're coming from or where they are going? No, he's speaking of those who are observing them, who is seeing the person of the Holy Spirit, and they can't figure out where they're coming from. And maybe you've had that experience where you're encountering a person, and you can't figure out where they're coming from, why they think the way they think, why they feel the way they feel, why they do the things that they do. It doesn't make sense to you. You don't understand the purposes in their life, what it is that's ahead of them, what it is they are pursuing. And I can't see that because I can't see the kingdom of God unless I have this experience that Jesus calls being born again or being born of the Spirit. Then he says to Nicodemus, "You do not understand these things, for we speak of what we know, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" They do not understand because they do not encounter the Holy Spirit or have not encountered the Holy Spirit. Then in John 16, Jesus says, as he begins to get into describing this experience with the Holy Spirit that is coming, he says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, to keep you from stumbling. That is, that if I have this encounter with the Holy Spirit, I won't fall into that pit. I won't have this moment where my life falls apart. I might have a blow. I might have circumstances that are bad, but it doesn't break me because I have been born of this Holy Spirit. Verse 2, he says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. If you choose to be born of the Holy Spirit, if you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and you encounter Him, then there may be opposition that comes your way. There may be people who get upset with you, who get angry with you, and they might even do wrong things to you, thinking that they're serving God in doing so, thinking that they're pleasing God in attacking you. Then he says in verse 6, but because I have said these things, speaking of him going to leave and then come back and then leave again, he says, you have sorrow, or sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That is, they could not even comprehend it yet because they haven't experienced the Holy Spirit. And if you look from the outside in and you struggle with understanding, you struggle with wanting to enter in, perhaps it's because you have not been birthed with the Holy Spirit that you can't see, you can't understand it. Then verse 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That when you experience this birthing of the Holy Spirit, you will understand, you will receive, you will be able to walk into things that bring life and victory and joy and peace. The very thing that you admire in the person, the very thing you long for in the person that you witness before you can be yours for the taking if you experience the Holy Spirit. Then he gives the analogy in verse 20 where he says, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will return or will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. That hour that comes when a woman goes into labor and experiences that excruciating physical pain, that moment of dread of how difficult it is to give birth to a child, and the pain that is there and the anguish that is there. Once it's over and that little child is laid in the mother's arms, she's not thinking about her pain anymore. She's not thinking of her hardship and her struggles. She is filled with joy because of the child that is in her arms. And when you decide, if you decide to let the Holy Spirit move in your life, you might face challenges and difficulties. You might suffer and you might experience pain. But I believe that if you walk in the Holy Spirit, that is just the beginning of good things to come. That you will experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will bring joy and peace and fulfillment and life and faith and confidence. Something that cannot be shaken if you have come to experience the Holy Spirit. And here at Bethel, we've been walking through an experience of becoming people of the Holy Spirit. And whether you are a believer or not, whether you've experienced this thing called baptism in the Holy Spirit or not, whether you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that is needed on a constant basis. And maybe you've had those things in the past, but you're suffering and you're in hardship and you're in despair and you're in depression and you're shaken. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring an outpouring in your life that brings that anguish into joy. But are you willing to jump into an encounter with the Holy Spirit where you might not know where you're going? You might not know what is ahead of you, but it is so far greater than anything you can pursue in this life. And so I invite you in the coming weeks to join us to jump into the experience of the Holy Spirit, because I believe in 2020, God has a move of the Spirit that He wants to bring, that your anguish that you feel now will be turned into joy. Don't you want to see that happen in your life? So if you would, for a moment, close your eyes and bow your heads with me. It was in that description in John 16 that He concluded by saying, "Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." That if you surrender your life to Jesus, whether you've done so in the past or not, whether you consider yourself a follower of Jesus or a Christian or filled with the Holy Spirit or not, when you ask the Holy Spirit to move in your life, you will ask the Lord to do things on your behalf, and He will. And you will receive this joy that will be full. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you would say, you know, I've not really jumped into that experience, or maybe I've never had that experience of this birthing of the Holy Spirit in my life, but I want to know that, encounter that, walk in that, so that I can find deliverance and victory and joy and peace and this assurance in my life that no matter what the world throws at me, I am not shaken. I want that experience. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, would you just indicate that for me so I can pray with you? Would you just raise a hand? Raise a hand for me. Good. Anybody else? Just raise a hand and say, that's me. Good. Anybody else? I want to encounter the birthing of the Holy Spirit in my life. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for these that raise their hands, that are asking for the movement of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I ask that, Lord, even now, You would begin to do a work in their lives, that You would birth the Holy Spirit within them, and that You would open their eyes, that they could see the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, and that they can see beyond the pain, beyond the struggles, beyond the hardship. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel, that joy is on the way, joy that is made full, and the power of the ability to ask the Lord anything, and they will receive it. Move in a mighty way, Lord, in a way that no preacher, no musician, no person in this world can move in the heart like the Holy Spirit can. So we ask that You would move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.